Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Jeanette Jones. On behalf of Prophetic Outpour and Prophetess Natasha Williams, I would like to tell you all thank you for logging on, and I pray that this is a blessed night tonight. Tonight we have Prophetess Phyllis Chrome coming in with a prophetic word about purifying. And I do believe that this is going to be an awesome word for all of us tonight to purify, to clean ourselves out, to be open for whatever God has for us. And tonight I would like to start off by saying that I just did the welcome. So next we're going to have an opening prayer. We're going to have Prophetess Natasha.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, God, we thank you for today, oh God. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for this moment, Lord. We thank you that brought us together, Lord God, for this moment in time. God, I know that there's a fresh road on high, Lord God, because I've been feeling it all day. And God, I just thank you that we were able to get here and to be on time, Father. God, as we go forward in your word, Lord God, and your will, Father God, I pray that you would touch the speaker on tonight, Lord God, that you would use her for thy glory, Lord. Whatever it is you have her to say, Lord God, God, I pray that she would speak, Lord God, and spare not, Lord God. God, I thank you for how you have used us thus far to support our processes and our programs, Father God. And I know, Lord God, that she has a word from you. God, use that word to purify us, Lord God. Use that word to restore us, Father God. Bring divine revelation, Lord God, that would touch hearts and minds and to change, Lord God, our way of even thinking, Father God. God, we know that there's some things, oh God, going on in each and every one of our lives that we choose not to even talk about, Lord God. But God, I pray that you will go into the crevices on tonight, Lord God, that you would just clean out, Lord God, everything that's not of you, Lord. God, I pray that you would have your way, Lord God, because in this season, oh God, we're going forth in your name, Father God. And in order for us to do so, Lord God, we have to have eyes that would see and ears that would hear. So on tonight, Lord God, I am trusting, oh God, that you would do what needs to be done to take us a little further in you. I trust you, Father God, and I know that it is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a good one. I'm feeling it. Next, we have scripture by Minister Charlotte Bowers.
Good evening, everyone. The scripture will be coming from Mark, verse. The scripture will be coming from Mark, 13:20-24. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, remember, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he say will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask, when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. This is the word of God for the people, oh God.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that scripture. Next we have, we're going to play another song. We're going to play Israel Houghton, Moving Forward. And after that, we will have the introduction of the speaker by Prophetess Carol Blackwell.
All things new, yeah, yeah, yeah. not going back. Wheels in the hand, it's declared to you. The past is over.
Yes, Prophetess Blackwell, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. I'm here to present Dr. Phyllis Crump. I want to start off by saying that if you go to swordandshieldcoaching.com, you can read a lot of her journey there and how God has blessed and equipped her for this season and those to come. I'm just going to say a little bit. And I wrote it down simply because I can go on and on and on about Phyllis Crump. So, for your sake and mine, the Bible tells us in Amos that the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And as such, he raised up by his own hand Phyllis Crump and placed her in the office of prophet. He gave her a measure of faith, and that faith grew as she trusted God to see her through and a lot of times carry her through trials of life. He was making her and molding her to his liking and has called her to be a useful, sought-out vessel that brings honor and glory to him. God has equipped Phyllis with his anointing to teach and train prophets in his truth and his way, under the banner of sword and shield. Prophetess Crump lives by God's standards and does not compromise. She operates in the Holy Ghost and does only what he says concerning his people. God is her everything. God is moving, and he needs those who will move with him. And Phyllis has taken up these words, by moving at the speed of God. So tonight I present to you a woman who loves with God's heart, Dr. Phyllis Crum.
Father, purify us until our hearts are broken, until we become the reward for Jesus' suffering. Make us your servants, us prophets gathered here at your feet today, pour a part of the faithful remnant that stewards your presence and your love in the places that you assign to us. Help us to continue to press in, Holy Spirit. Help us to continue to submit to you, Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to be standard bearers of your glory. Help us to be truth tellers by living as truth tellers. We renounce our flesh in every aspect of it. We purpose in our hearts to crucify our flesh daily, to crucify all the deeds caught up in it. So it's not we who live, but you living in us and through us. We choose, and we as a purposeful act of our will to decrease so that you, King Jesus, increase. We want to submit to your leadership, Holy Spirit, and we embrace the transformation process that you have engaged and implemented and executed for each of us because of the places that you intend to send us. So we submit to the change that you are orchestrating. We bless you, and we honor you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us tonight. We sit at your feet. Help us to embrace the friction of the aligning force of your power in our life. We want to line up with you. So purify us. In Jesus' name, amen. Purifying the prophetic in this hour is crucial to where the kingdom of God is heading and how we should be manifesting and being light in dark places. We understand and we look around us and see the increasing and encroaching darkness, but it is the prophet in this hour who all Christians in this hour should be light in darkness. But for the prophetic voice to be able to lead people out of darkness and into the light of the Son of His marvelous love, we have to be purified. The prophetic voice has been contaminated by carnal and self-centered soulish prophets. And this is grieving the Father's heart, and he has taken definite action to purify us and desires that we cooperate with him. After all, if we love him, we want to do that. I believe this John, it tells us that those of us who know the laws and commands of God and obeys them, then he will manifest, reveal, show himself to us. So that is one of the requirements, because it is. Obedience is God's love language. We have to check those things and make sure that we are quashing any bent in our own hearts towards rebellion and independence. It should be assumed by people, whether saved or lost. It should be assumed when they look upon us and they behold us, they should see the glory of the Lord. And if that in any way is tainted or marred, we misrepresent our King. And after all, we as God's messengers are the message. We have to live the message that we are carrying in our belly for the King. So it should be assumed that we are engaged, actively engaged in an ongoing and active press to apprehend the characteristics that attracts God's heart. We must always walk in humility and holiness, relational unity with others, walking in integrity, especially prophetic integrity. And you heard me mention this before. And what that is an intentional decision on the part of the prophet that no matter what, come hell or high water, we will live in truth. We will walk in love no matter how we are pressed or challenged. We will walk in the truth. We will be obedient to the Father no matter what it costs us, no matter if it costs us relationships, no matter if it costs us jobs, no matter what it costs us. We will behave with that thing as a frontlet tied to our forehead so that it drops down every time that we're pressed, and we can see that we must engage in a way that always points to the Father. So we must be a part of an accountable and transparent movement and force that's submitted to the Holy Spirit. So you'll have us check our ways, like 1 Peter 1 tells us. I think around about the 18th or the 21st verse, we should be checking our ways. We should be checking our attitude, as Matthew reminds us in the third chapter. Our actions must line up with the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul tells us in Galatians, and our values must line up of that God holds dear to his heart. We must practice until he and his nature and his character becomes a part of who we are. So we have to actively and aggressively engage in this process of purification. So the first place that I would like to start tonight is looking at our obedience patterns. Since obedience is God's love language, we should look at our pattern of obedience. Are we consistently obedient? Are there some areas of challenge where our obedience and response to the Father is a little sketchy? Now, why would I be talking about obedience in this way? Because that impacts our intimacy with the Father, that affects our ability to hear the Father. A prophet has to be engaged in an intimate relationship with the Lord. Our ears must be pressed to his lips. And sin impacts our ability to be able to hear that. And then the people are at a loss if they can't rely on a pure stream of life-giving water, the water of his word washing everything pure. So our level of obedience and our commitment to obedience to the Father has an impact on everything we do and say. So we must be consistently obedient. Now, how do we look at this thing? Are we obedient when it's convenient for us? 2 Peter 2 and 10 tells us, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous in that way, are self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." Are we doing God's business? No, we're not even looking at God's business yet. When we're obedient to the effect of when it's convenient for us, we do our business our way. We're not even thinking about what God wants. We're not even thinking about how he intends to use us. We're not even thinking about that. We're doing our business our way, walking purely after the flesh, self-centered and self-willed, protecting our own interests, and really immune and indifferent to the welfare of others. This is not good. And are we obedient just during crisis? When something hits our lives, we know that we have to get right with the Lord so we can petition of him to ask for relief from whatever the calamity is. So are we only obedient when we're in crisis? Like Romans 16:11 tells us, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That hopefully will start to at least move us closer towards him. At least we're doing our business his way. But we're not quite done yet. We're moving forward and closer to aligning ourselves with his will. And that alignment of the purposeful intent of our heart to obey him out of loving obligation, we are wanting to continue to move in alignment and bearing up under the friction. And when we experience friction in that alignment, it's because our flesh is still in operation. So there's still some more work to do. We still need to move out of our business his way. Now, are we obedient only under the burden of conviction? Romans 8:13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, we will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So hopefully this we start to move in this way on a more consistent basis. Not just, it's good that we're still tender. Our heart, our consciences are seared, and we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But we want to consistently do that. And as we're still pressing forward, still moving forward to have the character and nature of Christ continuously formed in us. So that moves us to his business, my way. But we still have a little way to go. We still have a little way to go, but at least we're moving closer. So we move from my business my way to my business his way to his business my way, and we want to get to his business his way. so that in all our ways, in all of our doings, in all of our dealings, in every way we execute the functions of our office and of our lives, that we are always about our Father's business. Our meat is to do the will of the Father, so that if we are in oppressed and we're experiencing trials, we tend to think that when we're in pain, that pain is of the evil one and it must stop. We have made an idol of our comfort and we want to do everything we can not to feel any pain. But if there is pain, we are experiencing pain, has bowed to Jesus too. When he conquered hell, death, and the grave, pain worked for those entities too. Now it works for Christ. So pain is an indication that we are not in alignment. Pain is an indication that something is out of order. Pain, even in our bodies, in our physical bodies, pain is our friend because pain gives us an indication that something is wrong and at least starts to search in that area. But when we're experiencing spiritual pain, even physical pain, even emotional pain, we should be seeking out the will of the Father because we don't want to dull our senses or to say, "Well, give me out of this. I don't like feeling pain. Get me out of this, Father." But we don't want to do that because that pain is an indication that something is not in alignment. And if we are to submit to the Holy Spirit's purification process, we have to let Him determine what he wants to deal with first. He knows where everything is. We are accustomed to making a laundry list of offenses, hurts, or things that are uncomfortable, and we ask the Holy Spirit. You know, we bring him this list and ask him to fix these things. But if we are going to be engaged in what he's doing to the level and degree that he wants us to operate in, if we're to come into fullness and become who he really sees us as, not what we've made of ourselves because we're good survivors, but he's really more interested in us being overcomers, which involves him. So we're going to continue to move forward, and we're going to continue to submit to his purifying process. Well, you know, why should we do that? So that out of us will flow rivers of living water. If there was ever a need for a pure prophetic word and flow, it is today. So we have to submit to this process of purification. We have to allow the Holy Spirit, and I use allow loosely because he still wants our consent. He still wants us to walk in agreement with him. We want him to orchestrate the process. We want him to decide what needs to be done first, not us. That's still doing his business our way. But if we're going to move consistently in a way that honors and pleases God and always points to the Father so that there's no impediment to the Holy Spirit using us in any situation, he's able to use us no matter what. We have to cooperate with him and submit to his processes. He generally will always deal with issues of submission, obedience, and response to authority in the prophet. And if these are not settled issues with the prophet, he's limited in his use, and that flow is tainted. It does no one any good. But if we insist on this way after he prompts us, "I want to deal with this thing, give me this, give me this, give me this." Well, like, for example, love. We love with conditions. We don't walk in the agape love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about because we don't like the doormatty quality of it. We don't like being doormats. Well, if we're concerned about being doormats, if we're concerned about being used, if we're concerned about looking foolish, we're still in our flesh. We're still in our flesh. He defends us. He's our defense. He's the one that will cover us and take care of all those matters concerning us. But if we are overly concerned with those things to the point that we will disobey him, we're in trouble here. And we're still a long way off from doing his business his way. But there are ways to check when we're engaged with the Holy Spirit, actively engaged in this purification process. These are things that he's going to check regularly. He's going to check our integrity, how we behave in all situations, not only if we're telling the truth. Integrity means that there is a balance in our lives, that we're not one way at work, another way at home. You know, we talk about wearing different hats. We can wear different hats, but the person, should still be a godly person. The person that's wearing these different hats should still be consistently who God says they are, no matter what hat they're wearing. So you don't not lie because you're going to church. You don't lie on Sundays, but when you go to work on Mondays, you'll lie. No, that's inconsistent, and it's a long way from his business's way. But he's going to consistently do integrity checks. He's going to continue to make sure that our knee-jerk response is righteousness in all things. The obedience that I was talking about earlier and have been kind of talking about, this is a particular importance to him. And if we're not consistently obedient, he can't entrust more things to us. So we are constantly being faced with making decisions that's going to say, okay, are we going to be obedient to God? You know, what what's that obedience going to cost me? Well, the Lord will deal with the fallout of our obedience. We can't say, because our hearts are not bigger than God's. We're not more magnanimous than him. Well, you know, I can't really do that because that's going to hurt them. Well, no, that may be the truth, but if God told you to do this, you can't tell God no because it's going to hurt them too much, as if he doesn't know that. That's presumptuous, prideful sin on our part for which we need to repent, and we engage in this kind of behavior too much, because it impacts how we behave and how we minister. And if we insist on our way, if we insist on doing our business our way, even though we're calling it ministry, at some point, his mercy is new every morning. But he's going to deal, because he loves us, he's going to deal with our rebellious hearts. And unfortunately, because we don't really pay attention or really submit it to the Holy Spirit's process, we are in part to the part, again, where it's convenient, to the part, well, you know, we're being convicted and I can't get out from under it unless I clean this up. But that's a form of rebellion. And most prophets will say, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. I'm not in rebellion at all. Well, I got a quick little test for you. To the degree that you will answer yes to any of the following questions, I can probably prove that you're in some form of spiritual rebellion and need to have that heart purified by the Holy Spirit. And I don't say this, you know, as one of those commercials say, well, I'm not only the president of the hair club, but I'm a member of the hair club. He's dealt with me in these areas. So I'm not saying this as if somehow I don't know. He's dealt with me in these areas. But to the degree, and we're talking about spiritual rebellion again, to the degree that you answer yes to the following questions, if you could change anything, if you could change anything in the world, if you won that $600 billion lottery tomorrow, what would you change? Would you change your gender? Would you change your race? Would you change the family of origin, the place you were born, the period of time you were born in? Would you change any of these things that God sovereignly assigns us? This is under the purview of God. He makes these distinctions. He decides what color we are, what gender we are, the families that we are born to, when we are born. He decides those things. And to the degree that we would change any of these things, we are in rebellion to our Father's sovereign will for our lives and will more often than not miss those sifting trials that are designed to help us become who we really are. So we are ministering to God's people. We're ministering to the world, to the lost, in a pure way. Even if our lives are shipwrecked and things are happening, they should be able to look upon us and say, oh, my, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. And they will be encouraged by the way we operate under trial. We like to, you know, when Paul talks to prays about that we would know him, meaning God, that we would know him in the power of his resurrection, we like that. We like that because both are raised from the dead and blind. See, you know, people are healed. We like the power of his resurrection. We like being forgiven of sin. We like being cleansed. We like being seated together with Christ in the heavenly realms. Those are the benefits of the triumph of the cross. But here's the other part where the big folks, grown folks go. And the fellowship of his suffering, that we would know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And if we don't like suffering, we're missing a crucial and beautiful element of him purifying us and the intimacy that's wrought through suffering. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you conjure up suffering so you can be, no. the suffering that we endure is not just because we live in a fallen world. The suffering we endure generally is because we had to depart from our flesh. We had to depart from what we have created of ourselves, the image that we've built of ourselves, the identities that we've built ourselves that have nothing to do with that white stone that our king is going to hand us that Revelation talks about, where he has written our name on that stone. And the only one that knows is the one who's written it and the one who bears it. So we're interfering in that process. We're going to miss crucial elements of what that sifting, those sifting, purifying trials are designed to do. So it is critical that we are aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading when he checks us, when he body checks us with integrity, obedience, and the other check that we have to look at. Are we living by his word? When we live by his word, we're being purified in the process. We get to know him more intimately and better. We can walk in fellowship with him and with others. But if we don't know his word, if we don't walk by his word, if we say, well, do as I say, not as I do, no, that's still a long way from doing his business his way. So these are areas that the Holy Spirit is constantly going to check us on. In hockey, they have this thing called the body check. And that's when the goalie is able to, as you're coming, you know, as you're trying to get the puck down the ice to the goal that you're heading towards, that goalie, he's allowed to do anything to keep that puck from going into the net. So he will use his body. Now, while he's using his body to keep that puck out of the net, the other hockey players are slamming their own bodies into that guy to throw his aim off so he doesn't get that puck where he wants it to go. And sometimes, depending on the level of rebellion that we're walking in, the level of disobedience that we are walking in, he may have to body check us. The Holy Spirit may have to body check us. And these body checks are in integrity, obedience, his word, and ultimately faith. That faith check tests our inner conviction as to whether God is going to do something. If God is who he says he is and he's going to do what he said he's going to do, it reveals the quality of our relationship with him. So it means that our faith has to expand and grow, that we can believe him for the change in our own belly as well as the change that we are supposed to pronounce, announce, and declare to this world. That we can alert everything over the earth, on the earth, and underneath the earth, that God is our king, and every system, every kingdom of this world will bow to him as we take ourselves and everyone and everything to the cross, where all of us will bow, where all of us will submit. So it is important, men and women, prophets of God, to submit, actively submit with love, with trust, to the purifying work of the Holy Spirit, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how it makes us look. It's important for the life of the people that we serve. And as prophets, we are servants. And what we're seeing in prophetic service is grieving the heart of the Father. He tells us we should never prophesy for food, but we have people demanding all kinds of things before they even open their mouth, as if the word belonged to them in the first place. The word says that we are not our own, we've been bought with a price. That includes prophets. That includes anyone, all Christians who have spiritual gifts. The gifts don't belong to us. They belong to the Holy Spirit. He gives them as he pleases, and then he places us in the body as he wills. So we all of these things don't belong to us, and we treat them as if they do. This taints the prophetic flow as well. And this area must be purified so that we are more effective in our prophetic service to our kin, meaning brothers and sisters in Christ, and to the world in the example that we're supposed to bring of Christ's love and nature and character resonating out of us. That, you know, I normally don't talk this much to anybody, or I don't know why I can trust you. Well, and they just start to tell you things. Well, it's because they sense the presence of God, and they're drawn, they're wounded, drawn by the anointing that should be resting on you comfortably. But if we insist on our own way, that's going to bring the chastisement from the one that loves us enough to chastise us. And we should embrace chastisement. That means we're sons. So we should never do anything to avoid it. We must submit to the process that he sovereignly decides that will break us, that will make us into the persons, the prophets that he wants us to be. This is his heart for us, servants of God, that we submit to him, that we are alert and sensitive to when he's checking our integrity, our obedience to the word, our level of faith, and walking in his spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't mean to laugh, but Prophetess Crumb, that is an awesome word that you gave tonight. And I do believe there are other people on the line who are going to say you have confirmed conversations that have been taking place over the last few days about obedience. And if
bless
anyone,
bless the Lord.
Yes, woo-hoo, yes, there have been some conversations about this and walking in who you are. So if anyone would like to give an encouraging word to the woman of God, would like to even just say something about the word that was given tonight from her, from the Father, please press *61. And you will be able to speak. Anybody? Okay, well, I guess I'll just finish my, because I was writing notes. And
there is someone in the queue.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, go ahead, Prophetess Natasha.
Yeah, no, there is someone in the queue. Caller, you can speak now.
You might have to unmute your line if you have it on mute.
Okay, I'm going to clear it. They can press *61 again.
Okay. Okay, you can press *61 again.
And while you're waiting for, you're trying to get the caller up, you just stop me from talking when you get hold of them. We don't hear enough about rebellion and how that affects our walk with the Lord, and
mm-hmm.
because we don't admit that we're in rebellion. We don't admit that this is what's going on. But when we make decisions separate and apart from him, we presume to know more than the Holy Spirit. And that in itself is rebellion against, at least seeking out his counsel.
Yeah.
But that rebellion and an independent spirit, and that's one of the things that we have to renounce, that independent spirit that we nurture and develop, when the Bible says the opposite, that we're supposed to be dependent on him. And it goes against our frame because we fight for our independence and that spells rebellion, and it ruins our ability to flow freely and purely. So we pollute the word, we dilute it, we pollute it, and it creates an imbalance that impacts destinies. It impacts the kingdom being manifested. It impacts the lives of people to the degree that they'll reject the Lord because of our behavior, and that should never be the case. And if we're walking in unforgiveness, if we're walking in unconfessed sin, if we are not actively and aggressively renewing our minds with the Word of God, because we don't automatically think like God, but we assume that we do because we're good people. Well, no, none of us are good, not one. Not one. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, all needing a redeemer. And understanding the horror of what sin has created, the perversion and the defilement of what we are so distorted from our original design that we don't even realize it. And because of what the cross has done, because of what Jesus consented to do on our behalf, he redeemed us from the curse of the sentences that we deserved that was handed down in Genesis 3. But now that he's done this, now that did not de-obligate us from returning to Genesis 1 and doing the thing for which we've been created. That's subduing the earth, taking dominion, not over each other, just over the stuff that flies, crawls, and swims, so that we can be as he is in this earth and point people to Christ and helping them to navigate and negotiate in this dark world and being able to hear him clearly. So we can't afford to be rebellious because lives are at stake. We can't afford to have hardened hearts that cause us to operate in deception. If we have an unteachable spirit, that's rebellion. Nobody can tell you anything. Now don't get mad at Prophetess Natasha for saying this. You get mad at me. She's not saying this. I'm saying this. So don't send her any other emails or anything. Don't call her up tomorrow and beat her up. Don't do that. But if you have an unteachable spirit, you're in rebellion. This is pride in operation. God he is actively resisting us when we're prideful. But he gives grace to the humble. Well, who's humble? Those of us who are submitting to his process. Did the caller come back up yet?
Not yet.
Oh, mercy. Oh, there's got to be a question out there. Come on, don't be scared. Come on, ask the question. Of course, you need prayer, and you know that your heart has been hardened because you've been beat up a little bit. Let us pray for you and minister to that so you can get free. Anybody? Oh, it's got to be. So I never heard of a quiet prophet.
Me? Really quiet. Okay.
Well, can I just say I really did enjoy the word. And when you spoke on the obedience, I thought about Moses when he hit the rock instead of speaking to it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it was so much about what the chaos of the people had got to him, to the point where he was just like, you know what, I'm just going to hit this thing, just get y'all out of my face. Mm-hmm. And so he messed up. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing I'm actually asking the Lord to help me with, because I know sometimes the chaos could be going on, and there are things that I remember that I used to do, which was react out of my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Not think about what I need to do, but what am I going to do now because of what's going on? And as I was speaking to one friend one time, I was telling her, I said, you know, when we're not in alignment with the Father, we can't hear.
That's
so
right.
It's like if we're trying to line up with him, we can't because we're so crooked. It's like if you go to the left and he's in the center, you're missing what he's trying to give you.
Yeah.
And so, this word was so awesome, because this is actually what me and a couple of friends were talking about sometime, I think, last week, maybe this week, all the way up to now. We have been talking about that. And one thing that I learned, no matter the amount of praying or fasting, if you ain't being obedient, you just starving yourself.
Yeah, you really want to put more or go on a diet. I mean, you're just on a diet.
I mean, you look good, but you're going to bust that wide open.
Yes.
So what would be the point if it's not cultivating intimacy with the Father that makes you joyously obey no matter what amount of suffering? If there's suffering going on, if there's something happening, if there's a violent exchange because of something you said, that means that a stronghold has been broken. Rejoice. Rejoice because a stronghold has just been torn down. Well, what's the stronghold? A disposition, a way of thinking, a way of behaving and responding. People think it's just demons, ooh, real spooky. Well, that's part of it because the demons are feeding that. They're feeding that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we partner with that in our flesh when we maintain a way of behaving and responding to situations that do not line up with the Scripture. And that's rebellion, too. That's rebellion, too. And we do this, and we're more like Moses than we want to admit. When he struck that rock, he, like you said, he was in front. The people were just getting on his nerves. I mean, and I can get it. I understand it. He was just struck with them folk all that time. I get it. And we get offended. We in the church, and they won't receive us, and we get mad, and we just start hitting rocks all over the place. Just throw down the thing and just leave. Take our robe and go home.
Yeah.
Because we've been offended because we're not received. Well, good grief. Jesus wasn't received by his own.
Wow.
And he didn't quit. He did not quit. If he had decided at any point like we do, we one word of offense, somebody looking at us crooked or doesn't speak to us, or if they didn't, you know, okay, the pastor didn't take my 3x5 card with a word for the congregation on it, and I'm never coming back here again. If Jesus had done that, if when they came to get him, the first sign of the skull, that's the first time they even laid hold of him, where they hit him, where they threw a cloak over him, taunting him and hitting him and saying, yeah, prophesy who hit you. I mean, he could have called down a legion of angels at that point. He could have said, and rightfully so, I do not have to take this. Who do they think they are? I don't have to take this. And he would have been right to say that he didn't have to take it.
That's right.
But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he did that for us. So why not endure the cross that's been assigned to us? I believe it's Luke that tells us that we're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, the cross that he's given to us, and follow him. Great day in the morning, that's a privilege. That's a privilege all day long. And the eternal weight of glory is being revealed in us. So when stuff is happening and we're enduring hardship as good soldiers, oh my goodness, he will not spare. He will not spare revealing himself to us and sharing his secrets and his plans because, like you said earlier, God does not do a thing without first telling his servants to profit.
Yeah.
And for what reason? So that we can get the people ready for what he's about to do. Not so we can read folk mail. Not so folks' knees start shaking when we come in the room because they think we see everything. Well, some of your arms, hit the button, pump your brakes, stop it, because the hallmark of the kingdom is courtesy, and you don't read anybody's mail without an invitation. You don't read anybody's mail, you don't say anything to anybody unless the Holy Spirit gives permission, because it's going to save someone's life.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I bless you, and I bless Prophetess Natasha for giving me this opportunity. Did any of the callers pop up? No, not yet, huh? Okay. Okay.
Actually, yes, there are. Well, there were. There's one still remaining. Let's see.
Oh, good. Oh, hello, this is Carol. I really enjoy I always enjoy when our Prophetess Crumb talks because it's just like the oracles of God. But the portion where you talked about, it was basically saying we worry about what we look like to people
Yeah. There's a song years ago. It was called Foolish and Simple.
Oh, wow.
And the words were, if you don't mind being called foolish, and if you don't mind being called simple, maybe I'll have a chance to be seen in your life.
Wow.
And that, I remember that song from years ago because at that time, it was real strong where you had to call a person Prophet so-and-so or Apostle so-and-so or Reverend this or Reverend that. The titles were big. And it really didn't mean anything because you weren't really doing the work and you weren't living the life.
Right.
Because they were concerned with status.
Yeah.
But it made me very glad that the Lord started pulling the rug, the shade off, you know, pulling back the smoke screen so that truth can be known. Because it knocked a lot of people off kilter because they thought they had to be a certain way when God truly does look at the heart. And if we're concerned about how we look to people, then they can't see him because we're putting on a front. We're putting on a facade and not being who he said that we are. And so I'm really glad that you brought out those points about being obedient and what rebellion looks like, because a lot are in rebellion and don't realize that this is rebellion. You know, and you need to quit it. And so that, I thoroughly enjoyed the word from the Lord. Thank you for sharing so much. You poured so much. And I think sometimes it's so much and so thorough, there is no question because you answered it.
Well, I pray that's the case. I pray that's the case. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
Will there be anyone else?
Yes, I'll go. It's Natasha. Well, first and foremost, I would like to say thank you for accepting the assignment on tonight. You truly, truly were a blessing, and you always are a blessing to me. This word hit home because, you know, I'm going through my transition of going back into church, my church, and with that comes a lot of work, a lot of opposition, so on and so forth. So it has been somewhat weary having to deal with all those opposing spirits.
Yeah.
And though I know it, and I know it's right to function a certain way, there are times that I get caught up in the moment. And, you know, you said something about, you know, a person not speaking to you or whatever. You know, sometimes if they don't speak, I won't speak. But my heart says to speak. So I just, if you can, I'm sure you can, pray for me. That I will continue to do thus what God says, not what man says or what my own, you know, personal thoughts feel at the time.
Oh, it would be a privilege to. Father, I'm just walking with Natasha to the foot of your cross, and everyone else that finds themselves in the same position as Natasha has just confessed, we will all come to you. We all go to you, and we kneel at your cross, and we just bless you for your forgiveness for our sins. When we have guarded our hearts and defended ourselves and walked in offense, we sinned against you. Please forgive us. And we thank you for the assurance of that forgiveness. So when you provide loving consequences by putting us back in those situations, so that our knee-jerk response to you is righteousness, we consider it a privilege, and we bless you for it. So we just thank you for blessing Natasha. We thank you for revealing your glory in her. We thank you for the active process you have her engaged in during this transition. Help her to remain steady. Help her to be like that vessel, that marred vessel that was on the potter's wheel. And you ask the prophet to go down to the potter's house and look. Look and see what the potter is doing. So we just sit your daughter on that wheel, and we thank you that though the vessel be marred in some ways, you the potter, the loving, skilled potter, are reshaping her in the way that seems best to you. Help her not to jump off your wheel. Help her to stay there no matter how fiery the trial, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how rough it gets. Reveal your heart and your plan to her. Reassure her of your love for her. And it would be her privilege and honor to continue to walk with you because she loves you and her heart towards you is good. So we thank you for continuing to form the character and nature of Christ in her. Bless every effort. We thank you for the body checks that you're going to give her in integrity and in word and in faith and in obedience. We bless you. And we just lift our sister up to you that she will be faithful and patient in trial, that the fruit of the Spirit will continue to blossom and grow and mature. We thank you that her anointing continues to build and grow in passion and fire and in weightiness. We thank you that they will grow in concert together, the fruit of the Spirit and the anointing that destroys yokes and tears down strongholds. Bless her, Father, for obeying you in all things. Let her feel your pleasure. Let her feel you smiling when she obeys you, because that would encourage her to continue on. She won't see or hear the faces of the people who are just upset and wanting to not see you or hear you, but help her by her example that would draw all men unto you. So we thank you for doing this for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, it is now. Okay, it is now 8:31. Would there be one more person who would like to give a response to the word or seek prayer or ask for prayer? Please press star 6-1. Okay. Well, if there would not be another, I guess we can... Hello?
Hello. Are we still trying to get the caller?
Yes, you can go ahead and give would you like to request prayer or respond to the word that was given tonight? Or you can have both. Hello? Okay, I think we lost the call.
Okay.
Okay, well, I guess we will go ahead on and close out in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Father God, we thank you right now. Lord, we thank you for tonight's ending, and Lord, praying that it is not our last night. Father, we thank you right now for the word that came forth from Prophetess Crum, God, that you gave us an everlasting word, something that we can hold on to, Father, that we can examine ourselves to see if the areas that we need help. Father, we will let you work in us. Father, we will walk in your will, Father, and try not to do your work, Father. We know that this is yours and yours only. And we know the only way that anything can prosper, Father, is through our obedience. Father, right now we pray and we ask you, Father, to put a hedge of protection around each and every caller tonight, Father, that has called in to hear the word from on high. Father, we know that this word resonated with each and every caller tonight, Father. Even though they were not able to call in, Father, we pray that the word touched them in a way, Father, that even though they see themselves, that they do not condemn themselves, Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus right now, Father, I pray that you touch Prophetess Crone right now, that you give her back tenfold, Father, what she poured out to us, Father. The words, Father, that she poured out unto us that came from you, Father. We pray that you bless her 10 times, Father, more than even the more, Father, that she has even asked for, Lord. We pray, Father, that the platform that you have her on, Father, that her light will shine so bright, Father, that people will ask her, where did you get that from? I want that glow that you have, Father. How can I get that glow that you gave her? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we pray. We pray that that word is touch golden unto our upon our hearts, Father, that it lays there, Father, that we open up to you, Father, knowing that we do not have to be afraid to even speak to you, Father, but we can say, yes, Lord, that is me, Father. That is me, Father. And God, I humbly ask you, Father, to come in to remove every piece of residue, everything, God, that would be even in the corner of my heart, Father, that you clean it up, God. Even as a house, Lord, that when it's broken down, Father, you still will build it up. Even when the storms come, Father, you send the men and women who are architects to build, Father, that you send them to us also to help build us up, Father, to build us up with your word, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, and I pray abundance of blessings upon each and every one who is on the line tonight, Father. We thank you for a prophetic outpouring, Father, for being a place where the prophets, God, not only the prophets but the ministers and anyone else, Father, who would need seeking a place, Father, where they do not have to be ashamed of who they are. They do not have to be afraid to walk in their gifts and their callings and their anointing, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, I thank you, God, for giving us this way, for giving us this place, Father, to be somewhere without being in fear. Father, right now we thank you, and we pray that tonight is an awesome night, that you give us dreams, Father, that we have a word from on high to give the people tomorrow, Father. Just your words, Father. No more extra words, Lord, but just your words, Father.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Father, right now I pray and I thank you. I thank you right now, Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one over this line. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray and I thank you. Amen.
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 So, everyone, we will get off this line and go in peace and be happy. And I really enjoy myself, and I thank God for each and every one of you all. You all are awesome women of God, and I thank God for each and everyone that was on the line tonight. So, everyone, have a great night tonight.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Can I give a place?